Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Pharrell and a Bunch in the biggest way possible. Hanging out the bad, see the broken day, the bad, I'm over the bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad, out of bad taste, bad life, bad dude, bad best, bad into the bad vibes. We are live in the Quicken Loans studios in New York City. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. People dressed in plastic bags, direct to traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do. But oh, my friend, they come around, fight to party, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, the town is tattered, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan. Shake it, ooh, should do. Are you with us tonight from New York? All right, 855-212-4227. Despite the news over the weekend that Kawhi Leonard prefers to be traded to the Lakers, reports today say the Spurs have absolutely no intention of trading him to a Western Conference team. Can Leonard use the leverage that he won't re-sign long-term anywhere else but L.A., or will Popovich and the Spurs not even care? I actually, from the beginning, Carver High have said on this show last week when it went down that I don't believe it would behoove them to trade him to the Los Angeles Lakers in any capacity whatsoever. Why in God's name would Popovich deal him to the LA Lakers?
I agree with you 100%.
You'd have to be stupid, right?
I don't see any way that he does it. I get that he's got this so-called leverage that he'll tell Boston, I'm not re-signing with you. I don't really care.
Whatever.
I don't think Popovich cares either. I think he would take...
He's already got a contract.
I think he would take a little bit less from somebody else if it meant... He doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to listen to him and trade him to the Lakers.
Why would he?
No need to.
Brooks Koepka asked the field at Shinnecock to become the first back-to-back U.S. Open champ in 29 years since, I think, Curtis Strange. Many of the pros complained about the course, and they're all a bunch of femmes. We'll talk to David Dusick at 20 past this very hour, 7:20 Pacific, from Golf Week. Do you have any issue with how the course played over the weekend? I got to be honest with you. I watched some golf, right? I'm not going to deny I watched some golf. But I watched way more World Cup. You can't even compare the two. I mean, it's night and day. The World Cup just absolutely kicked the U.S. Open right in the onions. I mean, right? Am I wrong? It was fantastic. And that listening to these guys complain about the golf course that they do every single year at the U.S. Open, they always complain. I am so tired of these guys blaming the fans and complaining about the golf courses. You know what it is? I've said this many times, I'll be clear. They were raised as spoiled little brats on country club yard. You know what I mean? Like just in the lines of the rich people, and they are spoon-fed, these little brats, from the time they are able to put on shoes and play golf and swing a golf club. They are gift-wrapped, everything on a silver platter without saying thank you, right? And then they finally become golf pros, and they never change. I mean, I know half of these guys, and they're as stuck up as anyone you ever met in your life. Am I wrong? I mean, do these guys not rub you the wrong way at some point or another? Like, when they cry about the golf course, it is so funny to me. When they are brought down to earth or brought to their knees by a golf course, and I got to listen to them complain about it, is the absolute funniest thing ever. When you shoot 25 under par every week the whole year at all of these cheesy-ass golf courses you play at and win all this money, they win hundreds of millions of dollars, right, in their career. If you're top 100. If you're top 100, you're going to make $100 million, right? Am I wrong? And then you spend, Well, at least three times a year. I mean, the Masters, they don't complain. They're just glad they're there, right? But they always complain at these other ones. The British, and isn't the British coming up next?
Yes.
But
mid-July.
You don't hear the Europeans complaining about the British course.
Never.
It's the Americans that complain. And they are a bunch of whining crybabies when it comes to these tough courses. They cry every time. And it is unbelievable to me. You just want to beat their ass, don't you? Like, I just want to punch them in the face. I'm like, dude, come on. You're such a wuss. Just shut up and play. Have you ever seen anything more annoying than a bunch of millionaire golfers complaining about the golf course as they're playing for a major championship? What do they want, it gift-wrapped? What do they want it handed to them? They want to be 12 under par? I mean, it's just unbelievable to me. I mean, one guy, you didn't see the guy that won it complaining, did you?
Look, I don't know what was worse. The guys complaining about how hard it was, and I think Saturday was their issue. Saturday seemed to be a really tough day for the guys out there. But what I thought was worse was the nonstop overanalyzation of Phil Mickelson walking past that ball and knocking it back the other way. You would have thought that this guy picked up his ball in the fairway and overhanded it over to the green with the way they went on about it.
What did you think about what he did?
I didn't care because it was insignificant in what was going on in the tournament. He was taking advantage of a rule in the book. That ball would have flew, and he probably would have took him four shots to get back.
What was the rule?
Well, basically,
explain
it
to me.
When you hit the ball when it's moving like that,
right,
without letting it set, it's a two-stroke penalty.
Right.
Okay? So he
did better by doing that than going to hit four shots.
You can make that case, and that's why people say that he disrespected the game and should have been disqualified.
What did he say? He said, I should be disqualified if I cheated? And he wants to be disqualified.
Something around
that. And then what? His wife got involved. How did he not get disqualified?
They didn't disqualify because they're not going to not have Phil Mickelson play Sunday at the U.S. Open. That's why.
Didn't he do terribly?
He was terrible, and that's the other reason. Who cares? He was like 12 over par at the time.
Barry Trotz quit today as the coach of the Washington Capitals in a stunning development. It appears that he's going to be the coach of the New York Islanders. The rumors started here with Carver High and his accomplice in terror, Brian Compton, B-Comp, otherwise known as. They started the rumor that he was going to come to the Islanders during the Stanley Cup Finals. Where did you get that intel?
Just stuff that we didn't start the rumor.
You did.
I mean, guys heard it. It was going on that he didn't want to come back and be with this organization anymore. He didn't like the owner. I think here's what went on. I think he was upset that they lame ducked him this year and that he didn't have a contract beyond this season and that he had to coach this year in that situation. He had a clause in his deal that if he won the cup, he got a two-year extension with a little bit of money added on. And he said, I don't want to be here anymore. Resigned. They accepted, and now he can go elsewhere.
Can you imagine that this guy wins the Stanley Cup and quits? I mean, how ruthless is this business that you can win the Stanley Cup with a bunch of guys that have been through the wars, and then he wins a cup? How long was he there coaching him? Two years?
4 years.
4 years? That was his fourth year.
Yes.
And in that 4 years, had the best record in the NHL.
Of any team,
even though he didn't win the cup until this year. Like, in those other previous 3 years, was still one of the best coaches record-wise in the NHL.
Okay, so, I mean, it really is unbelievable that he just quit. He's like, I don't want to be here. Can you imagine winning the Stanley Cup and I don't want to be here to defend it? That's amazing to me. And I'll be honest with you. It would appear to me he's going to go to the Islanders for $6 million. He's going to make $6 million a year. He's going to get a five-year deal, and he's going to get power of running this team through the new arena. I mean, let's face it, right? I mean, they're going to give him the kitchen sink.
Well, he won't have power of running the team. I mean, Lou Lamoriello doesn't let anybody touch the team. But he's going to get paid as one of the top three.
But Lou's not going to tell him who to put on the ice.
No, he's obviously the head coach. Lou's gonna give him, you know, Lou's, as the old Parcells term, Lou's buying the groceries, okay? And then Trotz gets to put him out there.
Do you think Trotz wants to work for him?
I don't know if those guys, they don't have any history in terms of working together.
Can you imagine
before.
This guy would leave hockey after winning the Stanley Cup? He's
I don't,
not going to
I can't
away,
imagine that he would sit out a year. I just, it's hard for me to imagine that. Unless do you think he's that burnt out from the long Stanley Cup run?
I mean.
When he's going to have possibly $6 million a year staring him in the face?
Is he going to take the job or not?
I think he's going to be offered the job. I think he definitely is.
Tom Brady tells Oprah Winfrey that retirement is coming sooner rather than later. We've heard many stories about Brady's desire to play a lot longer. Do you believe he may finally be closing in on the end? Well, of course he is. Of course he is. And all this talk about 5 more years. What is he, 41? 4 more years he's going to play? I just do not believe that. I don't believe it. The opening weekend of the World Cup saw some tremendous finishes and slow starts for heavy favorites such as Germany, Argentina, and Brazil. None of them won. We will talk extensively about the World Cup tonight at some point or another. Incredible soccer games daily in Russia. Get on PharrellOnTheBench.com. The time is now. Baseball picks every day. PharrellOnTheBench.com rocks. We got boxing, MMA, daily fantasy, football right around the corner, college and pro. PharrellOnTheBench.com has it all. Sign up today.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line 855-212-4227 is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to Geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. The great David Dusick joins us from Golf Week after the U.S. Open. Real quickly, they're at Carnoustie, is that correct, the Open?
That is correct. We'll be in Carnoustie, Scotland, 1 month from now for the Open Championship.
So DJ is the favorite, and he's 12-1, he obviously finished third at the Open, 2 shots behind Koepka. Rory and Spieth have the second-best odds at 14-1, followed by Fowler, Justin Thomas, and Justin Rose. They got Brooks Koepka at seventh in terms of, and he's 20-1. Are you surprised after he wins back-to-back U.S. Opens that he still gets no respect?
I'm surprised that Koepka gets that little respect. I'm surprised Patrick Reed, who was solo fourth after shooting 68 yesterday, is not getting obviously a lot of respect with the folks out in Vegas at this point. But, I mean, at the end of the day, the best player right now in my mind has been Dustin Johnson coming into this. Now, he folded yesterday. I was really disappointed to see him go out there and shoot that 70. I thought that he was going to be the guy. But obviously he then had the best seat in the house watching Koepka shoot 68 and just you know, let everything roll off his back, be able to absorb all those early shots from Tommy Fleetwood, who shot an amazing 63 yesterday. Koepka showed poise that was tremendous. And to be able to bring it home, that birdie that he made on 16 to give himself a 2-shot lead going to the 17th hole. And the 18th hole, obviously, he used one of those shots when he went left on 18 with his approach.
Right.
He played smart the whole week. He putted great. He has, I think, one of the best. He and Dustin Johnson both have the perfect demeanor to handle the U.S. Open, especially one when the USGA botches the course. They take the good with the bad. They just keep plugging along, playing. And, Koepka should get more respect, and honestly, so should Reed.
He, boy, is he ripped, too. I got to tell you, this guy is he's an ox with that golf club. Like,
yoked. Absolutely yoked.
I mean, how far does he hit it?
When he really lays into a driver, he is just as long as guys like Finau and Dustin Johnson and Rory. I mean, he's easy, 315, 320 in the air when he needs it.
Wow. So why is it that, am I guessing this, that no one cares about him winning back-to-back U.S. Opens? I think it's phenomenal what he did, but just no one seems to gravitate toward him.
I think that he's got a really quiet demeanor. I think he really doesn't care about the spotlight. The spotlight comes to him because of his game, because of his accomplishments, but he doesn't seek it out. And unfortunately, when we look back on this guy, and you know this, 10 years from now, when people are talking about the 2018 U.S. Open, they're going to talk about two things. They're going to talk about, you know, Phil Mickelson playing hockey on 10 on Saturday, and they're going to talk about the USGA yet again screwing up the course when they promised us they weren't going to let this happen. It happened again, and those are going to be the things that we take away. And that's a pity because Koepka deserves a lot more kudos and a lot more buzz than he's going to be creating.
What do you mean, like, they promised you that they were going to do what?
3 weeks before the U.S. Open started, they had what's called Media Day. So yours truly got to go out there and play the golf course. But before we did, Mike Davis and other USGA officials literally got up on a stage and on a podium and talked to us and literally said, like, verbatim, Scott, we're not going to have a repeat performance of what we had in 2004. We have learned from that. We have more technology at our disposal to be able to monitor the course and the greens specifically. We have better weather forecasts at our disposal, and we're going to make better decisions. And all of that was said with a straight face in front of us, and for the first couple of days, everything looked great. And then we got to Saturday, and they totally monkeyed it up. And I was following the Koepka Ian Poulter group all day on Saturday.
Right.
And by the time we got out to like 11, 12, 13 specifically, the wind is kicking up. The greens are totally baked out and brown. They were put the flags were put in positions where you couldn't go at the flags. And even when you hit a good shot, there was just not enough grass. There wasn't friction on the grass to be able to stop a ball from rolling away
right.
from the pin positions. They screwed it up again.
And who's to blame? And instead of, like, the USGA, like, can you name names? Who's the
well, I mean, at the
who
end
makes
of the, day,
the call?
The buck stops with Mike Davis. He's the executive director. He's the guy who is going to be at the very top of the masthead when you're looking at where do the holes go? How much irrigation do we put? How do we set up the golf course? The buck stops with him, and he needs to, along with the championship committee, those are the people that need to step up and say, you know what, we got it wrong. And they came into the media center on Saturday night, Scott, and they said as much, which was just dumbfounding. The fact that they come in and said, yeah, you know what, there were holes on the golf course today that went over the top, that went beyond what we think was probably fair. I mean, they came out and admitted again. They screwed it up again.
So what did they why didn't they fix it for Sunday?
Well, I think Sunday was fine. I think Saturday night, because they had eaten so much crow there, that they put tons of water down there. They didn't roll the greens nearly as much. They didn't cut them so that the grass could actually do some kind of healing. They put the pin positions in much flatter areas, and that's how a guy like Tommy Fleetwood could go out and shoot 63. It would have been impossible to go out there and shoot that kind of a number. I mean, it was...
You mean on Saturday?
On Saturday. Saturday morning, there was still a little moisture out there. The wind didn't kick up. But, you know, and that's how you got guys like Daniel Berger
right.
to go out there and shoot an early score. But it was totally
so
different golf courses in the afternoon.
What do you think, David Ducey, the great writer from Golf Week and regular on the bench, what do you think of all the people that think the golfers are prima donnas and that they're, I mean, literally, that they're crybabies and that they're, that they play, you know, 35, 40 tournaments a year where they're stroking 15, 20 under par and still making tons of money. And then they finally run into a behemoth on the U.S. Open every year. And then instead of, like, I don't know, there's people that believe instead of conquering it, they complain the whole weekend. And it makes them look like a bunch of crybabies, like, or that they're spoiled brats. I mean, you hear people saying this. I'm not making this up. What do you think of it?
No, I hear it all the time. Absolutely. And my reply is this. There's two things. When you hit a good shot, you should get a reward for that. When you hit a lousy shot, or you hit in a national championship, in the U.S. Open, a shot that's so-so or okay, it should get punished. But I'm out there with Koepka on 15 green on Saturday afternoon. He hits a fantastic bunker shot. The ball rolls up. It's trickling up towards the hole about 2 or 3 feet. It's about to stop. The wind is kicking up, going like basically down the hill from his left to right. The ball then gets caught by the wind, and because there's no green, no grass to actually literally, Scott, create friction with the ground, the wind pushes the ball away another 30 feet. It was ridiculous. The ball should have stopped under any normal circumstances. That shot should have stopped within 5 feet of the cup. Instead, he ends up with a 35 or 40 footer. And the same thing happened to Poulter on the exact same green. I asked him about it. I said, what can you tell me about the condition of 15 green? He said, I literally can't say anything about it because I have nothing to say. It's too messed up.
So,
and it just, I have no problem with them setting up a hard golf course.
Right.
It needs to be a fair golf course.
So explain to me what the hell happened with Phil Mickelson. What was he thinking? And, you know, I don't think people understand actually what happened.
Well, what happened was that Phil Mickelson hit a putt on Saturday afternoon on the 10th green, on the 10th green, you're right. He hits it. He recognizes the ball is going so fast on the green that it's going to fall, and it's going to probably end up about 40 yards down a hill. So rather than letting that happen, he jogs over to it, and while the ball is still rolling, he putts it again, hits it again, intentionally. Now, what the USGA did is go by the exact letter of the rule, and the rule says that if a player hits a moving ball, it's a two-shot penalty. The important thing about this whole thing is the intent, Scott, is not a part of the rule itself. It has nothing to do with it. And so by ignoring the intent, and clearly the intent was to not let the ball go down the hill, then the USGA basically said the rule says it's a two-shot penalty, end of story, period. Now, could they have forced him to get out of the tournament? Could they have kicked him out of the tournament? There is like a never-used rule that does give them the authority to do that. They said that to us when they came in to explain all this on Saturday night. They basically just said, look, it didn't happen. Phil called up the USGA. He spoke to Mike Davis on Saturday afternoon. He said he wanted to talk about it, wanted to make sure that they came out and explained, that the USGA explained that that's the rule. Mickelson was aware of it. He totally accepted the penalty. And the big thing to me was that there really wasn't any sense of contrition. There wasn't the, I'm sorry, I just lost my head, I snapped under the pressure, I screwed up, I definitely deserve the penalty, and you know what? It's something I've always wanted to do. I did it, and it was wrong, and I should just move on from that. We never got anything like that. We got Mickelson basically, like I say, smirking and just going along, but there was no sense that he felt sorry or bad about it. And when he left on Sunday, because he got out super early, he was leaving the facility before the leaders took off.
Right.
He's out there giving thumbs up, cheers to the crowd, happy-go-lucky guys. Like, yep, nothing happened. See you guys at Kearney's Day.
What did you think when you saw him do it? Like, what was the first thought, lastly, that I'll ask you here, that went through your mind when you saw this guy who's like a living legend golfer basically running after a putt and stopping a ball that was rolling on the green on 13. When I saw it, I was like, holy shack, what is this guy doing? I've never seen a star player do something like that.
I was on the golf course with Koepka and Poulter. I heard about it. I didn't see it live. I came in, and people had described to me what happened. I saw the video, and I thought it was a joke. I thought it was one of those situations where, like, you're out with your buddies, and you miss a putt in a match, and you just hockey puck the thing back there because you know you just lost the hole and you're going to go on to the next one.
That's what I would do.
Except it's the U.S. Open. It's a film. It's a guy who literally has got five majors and is in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
He's one of the most beloved and respected guys on the PGA Tour. One of the great players of his generation, screwing up and doing something that is unbelievable. Like, it was stunning, absolutely stunning.
Yeah, and I bet all the rest of the golfers on tour thought it was crazy. They all had to be talking about it later. I got to run, but great stuff as always. Great coverage on Wednesday, Friday, and tonight. Thanks so much as always for your incredible support that you give us and talking about the great game of golf. We always love having you on the bench, David. You're one of our favorites all time. Thanks again.
Anytime, Scotty. Thanks a lot.
We'll talk to you at the Open, which is my favorite championship, the one that really matters, the real golf championship.
You got it.
That's right. The only one that matters, the British Open. That's real golf at its finest. I actually thought Shinnecock was that kind of course, though. Brutal. A links course, basically, right? That was brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So, Mickelson, I said at the time, I just didn't feel like going back and forth and hitting the same shot over. I took the two-shot penalty and moved on. It's my understanding of the rules. I've had multiple times I wanted to do it. I finally did it. Pressed by reporters if he got away with a breach of etiquette, he said, toughen up. That's right, a guy taking the easy way out of a bad putt is telling his detractors to toughen up. How funny is that? Like, he's blaming them? Are you kidding me? I really am turned off by this guy after this.
You want to blame somebody, blame yourself.
I'm turned off by how much they talked about it. Like, it was ridiculous. The Fox coverage, the Golf Channel, the little panel that they got out there on the course afterwards when you flip over to the Golf Channel, get a little post game.
Right.
It was all Mickelson.
It was because you felt that he was too far out of it to be talking about
it. I thought it was insignificant to the golf tournament. I thought it had absolutely nothing to do with what mattered, which was who was going to win. It had zero to do with it. Had no impact on the outcome of the tournament whatsoever. Zero.
So, did you lose respect for him? Or are you still just like, whatever, I don't care?
No, I didn't lose any respect for him. I'm not one of these guys that were sitting out there on that television talking about how he disrespected the game and, Oh, my God. You know, disqualify him. You
Could
know,
you even believe?
Old men yelling at clouds. You know, I couldn't take it. It was too much.
But did you, like, this tournament, what, people are going to say that they remember what? That the guy repeated his champ, or that the course made them all cry, or that Mickelson cheated, or are they going to talk about in the middle of the second round on Friday, the microphones went off of Joe Buck, and suddenly some guy was talking about porno on the air for like a minute and a half.
Yeah, that won't get remembered. That's just something funny to laugh at them in the now. I think that, unfortunately, like you said, I nobody will care that Brooks Koepka won 1 year, 5 years, 10 years from now. They're going to remember. Remember the U.S. Open where Phil Mickelson
cheated,
went and knocked the ball back across when he was in, you know, 40th place at the time?
What do you think of guys that what do you think of the guy that wins back to back and no one cares about him?
Nobody will care.
But is that not crazy?
He's not a guy that people care about.
Why is that?
Nobody cares about Brooks Koepka.
But that's crazy.
Maybe people will start to.
He's got two majors.
And unless he gets like 5 to 7 more, most people aren't probably going to remember him unless you're a diehard golf fan. Like, remember him, period.
Why? Because he's just not into it, or? Because
he's not one of these guys they push out there. He's not Phil. He's not Tiger. He's not Rory. He's not the guys that they make the face of it. It's like, you know, in the NHL, if you're not, you know, we've talked about for years, Crosby or Ovechkin or, you know, some of these other guys, you don't know who they are. That's the same way with the PGA. They don't highlight everybody. They highlight 4 or 5 guys they like that are zany or different. And otherwise, they don't give a damn about you. So we don't know you.
So the only people they care about now are Spieth, Justin Thomas,
Rory,
DJ,
Bubba, because he's, you know,
Bubba's
crazy.
Bubba, he's crazy. And then
like David
Ricky
just said,
Fowler.
They don't like
they love Ricky.
They love Ricky Fowler. By the way, great showing by him on Saturday when he was in the mix after Friday. We talked about Friday night. Here comes Ricky Fowler. Maybe he's got a shot. The dude shot like plus 13 on Saturday. Great job
Why
by him.
Why is it that people keep buying into Ricky Fowler, though? He sucks.
I'm done.
He never
That
wins.
Was it. Remember how I told you I'm going to keep betting him every major because he's going to cash me.
You're
finally
done.
I'm done with that dude. After what he did on Saturday, and I get it was hard for everybody
no,
on Saturday.
No, but he really is terrible.
He was awful on Saturday.
He is everyone loves him. He's got a hot fiance, and everyone loves him. He's a celebrity. They got him. He's this, you know, the face of Puma until Jay-Z got hired today. Now, but he never wins the majors. He never performs at a high level, does he, in the majors? I mean, I guess he has before been in it, but he never wins it. I'll tell you that much. It's crazy, right? You don't think at some point or another that guy never wins?
It absolutely is. I mean, and this isn't one of those situations where it's, you know, you could blame it on the rest of the team. This isn't Ovechkin where, oh, well, his teammates let him down. The guy does everything he can to win. When it comes down to the clutch, 9 times out of 10, he does something that screws it up. Yes, there's other guys that have to play well in order to beat him, but it's an individual sport. If he played out of his mind, at some point he's got to win one, but he just doesn't.
Patrick Reed continues to play great in majors.
Another guy nobody likes. Nobody likes the dude.
They don't like him either.
The stuff they were yelling at that guy.
What were they yelling at?
Big boy or whatever. Like, he was hitting the ball. Because those guys, I'll say this, rowdy crowd. You get that in New York. I didn't have a problem with it. Another thing people complained about this weekend was how rowdy and you know, just the crowd was yelling things at the players after they hit the ball.
Yeah, but I got to admit that I don't have a problem with rowdy crowds at all. I really don't. The Phoenix Open, none of that bothers me. I think there should be more of it. But my problem is I don't have a problem with fans yelling stuff at the players when they're walking and things of this nature. I really don't. Let's see him. He's going to tie it up. He's going to tie it up in the bottom of the ninth. They're going to win it. They're going to win it on an error by the left fielder. St. Louis, Azuna blows it. They were down 4-2, came back, took the lead, then a home run, made it 5-4. And then they just gave up 2 runs in the bottom of the 10th on a botched play by the left fielder, and the Phillies win the game.
Phillies.
All right, so going back to what I was saying, the thing that bothers me, Carver High, is that every single tee shot that they hit, even on par fives, these morons yell, get in the hole. Like, You got to be a complete loser, tool, asshat to yell, get in the hole, when a guy's teeing off on a par four or a par five that even the pros aren't driving the green on these fours and fives, right? They just aren't, okay? But these drunk, stupid-ass fans scream, get in a hole after every shot, and it is... to me, the most annoying, painful loser thing to yell in, like, I guess, of anything ever. Now, they yell Baba Booey as well at every tournament on the face of the earth, which is also stale as all hell. It just never ends, right? It's just so bunk. It's so lame now. It's just gotten so old. It just, can't you idiots come up with anything else better? After all these years, you just can't even, it's the same thing every time. Get in the hole and Baba Booey every single tee shot. Like, you got to be a complete loser. Seriously, to be sitting there and that's all you do all day for 4 days is scream those two things. How much of a tool do you have to be? Now, I get it. It's great. It's funny. I work there. I know all about the Fafa flowage. I'm cool with it, but not at the golf course, right? It really isn't. It's funny on the radio show, right? I don't find it funny in golf. It just, am I wrong, Carver High? Has it not gotten old? Like, how many years now do we have to put up with that before it finally is just stale as hell and it's gotten to the point where somebody needs to punch one of these dudes in the face? Just shut up. Just stop screaming the same thing every single time. You're a loser. Who goes to the golf course to do this? If you do that, and that's what you do, you're a loser. Just so I want you to know how much of a loser you are. No one thinks you're cool. Not the people you're with, not the people on TV watching. We all hate you. You are painful. You're a loser. Do something with your life. Anything but this. Do something else. Anything. Maybe go golfing. Try golfing instead of screaming the same thing after every tee shot. Get it all, Baba Booey! It's so painful. I want to kill myself watching golf anymore because I can't even take it anymore. I really can't. It's just the most annoying, cheesy, childish, stupid thing ever, and it's got to end. Somebody please, God, help us. Please end it. Anything. Any way you can possible. I pray for that. Am I wrong? Honestly.
Get in the hole has gotten a little stale.
Get in the hole. And the other one, too. Are you kidding me?
That's gotten stale, too.
Please. Just admit it.
It's gotten stale. You know what? They say the same thing so often, I don't even realize it.
I worked there for 7 years. I'm entitled to tell you that sucks and it's cheesy. Stop yelling it. You're a loser. Just anything. Yell TNA, anything, something. Do the guy the porno phone call again or something, anything. Anything but. I'll take anything but. Get in a hole! Right, is there anything worse than that on a par five? The guy tees off with a driver. He's going to go hit another fairway wood on his second shot to try to hit the green, right? But the first tee shot on a par five and some loser fan yells, get in the hole, after every single guy tees off. I can't even watch anymore. It's so painful. I mean, they really are. So you were saying the fans were, people were saying they were too rowdy. They were too predictable. They're so lame and predictable and cheesy and just awful at their yelling. Their yelling is so bad that it's not even creative. Christ, at least be creative when you yell stuff. The same thing every time. I mean, my whole life, that's all I'm ever going to hear at the golf course. You the man. Get in the hole. I mean, it's just gotten so bad. And let me tell you something, just so you know, the golfers hate your guts. Just so you know, I know a lot of them. They all hate you. I just want to let you know that. They hate you. The people that scream and yell at the tee box after every shot, they want you to die, basically. They hate you. Dead.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.